I could hear you breathing, Eric, or somebody.
Uh-oh.
It wasn't that silent of Nat sound.
Oh, guys, okay. I'm nervous about something.
What?
Next week, we won't be able to count the number of episodes on two hands.
Why are you nervous
Welcome
about that?
To episode 10, guys.
We have 2 feet.
That's true.
When we get to episode 21. Well, actually. Yeah. Well, actually, only for some of us.
So we're back doing take two of this episode. We actually tried to record this last week and had a lost recording that
we failed.
Yeah, we deemed that wasn't quality enough for your precious listening time. So we're back again to try this again. And we're going to talk about, well, you guys want to go over what we're talking about today?
3, 2, 1. Don't go chasing. Oh, that was awful.
I'm a terrible singer. I told you.
Not even on rhythm. Okay. Well, and it's really the wrong song, to be honest, because as we were mentioning before, it's discouraging people from adventuring or traveling to waterfalls. And we would like to do the very opposite with this episode, right?
Yeah, you don't want to stick to the rivers that you're used to. You want to get out and experience some new stuff here.
Exactly.
There you go.
So we're talking waterfalls today. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
And I have audio this week.
And yeah, Ellen is here.
Ellen's back.
Able to communicate with us. So that's great. No more holding up signs to her webcam.
Ellen, feel free to show your eyebrows, though. Come on.
Whoa, I don't want to talk about my eyebrows. I tried to do them myself. I had to quarantine, do my eyebrows myself, and I'm a little ashamed. I shouldn't have done it. Should have just let them go free.
Experiencing some PTSD.
Yep, never going to do it again. Good thing I'm not going to see anyone for the rest of this month. So we're all going to move on from that. And Dave hit the sting.
Sounds just as good no matter where you are, as we're all at our respective homes. The Cabin is presented by the Wisconsin Counties Association, and this week we're featuring Jefferson County. Now, the largest city in the county is Watertown, which has about 20,000 people. Its county seat, of course, is Jefferson. It was founded by Yankee settlers from New England and named after Jefferson County, New York. A couple of historic facts. Watertown is one of the Well, it's home to the first kindergarten ever back in 1856. It's a National Historic Place. There's also a great octagon house right on the same property, as a matter of fact. And Rosemary Kennedy lived in Jefferson for some time. Not for the greatest reason, but she did. Yes.
Why? Why'd she live there?
It's a long story. It involves St. Coletta's and medical stuff.
I gotta Google this.
I shan't get into it here.
Interesting. Mm-hmm.
So it's early April now, and hopefully we can get out and about more sometime soon. So now is the time to start thinking about cool day trips you're going to want to take as we're allowed to get out later this spring and summer. So this week we're chasing waterfalls. I'm not singing it for obvious reasons, but we're going to talk about waterfalls all over the state. So let us start.
Let's do it. And I mean, you can still social distance at many of these waterfalls, right? Or is that a no-no?
You can get out and about and check them out, but
don't
a
get
lot of people aren't doing
feet.
Long day trips. Right.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't recommend that.
You can get within six feet of a waterfall. You just can't get within 6 feet of other people.
Right. Let's clarify that. Yes. Okay, what's the first one on your list?
Why don't we start along the West Coast, if you will, right by the St. Croix River. And leading to that river is a smaller stream, which has some great little waterfalls there in Osceola.
Good choice.
Cascade Falls and Geiger Falls. And Cascade Falls, I can really speak to because that is such a cool little one right in the downtown area of Osceola.
Yeah, one of the reasons I love Cascade Falls so much is it really is right downtown in Osceola. Mm-hmm. It's one of few. I can only think of maybe two in the state where there's falls that you can visit right in the destination's downtown. And I think that makes it extra special. You can actually hear it from Main Street.
Yeah, and you can't actually easily see it. You got to go through a few trees and all that, which makes it kind of pleasant too, because once you go through the trees, you can't even tell you're downtown.
It is quite a steep decline. You know, you mm-hmm. climb down all, it's steep, but still accessible because there are plenty of stairs. Mm-hmm. But you do, I remember being pleasantly surprised by kind of the little hike that you embark on just to get to Cascade Falls. It's not, like I said, it's not far, but you are going to go down quite a bit in order, the downtown is kind of above the waterfall, if that makes sense.
Yeah, not by a lot necessarily, but... Mm-mm. You know, it's not like you're in Devil's Lake or something with huge climbs.
No, no.
But it is a beautiful waterfall. And yeah, you can hear it quite easily from the street. It's weird. You know, you hear it, you're looking around and you're like, where's the waterfall? And then you get through the trees and you go down the steps and there it is. And it's gorgeous.
Okay. One of my favorite waterfalls would be Stevens Falls. For that one, we're heading to southwestern Wisconsin. Not a lot of waterfalls in the Driftless area, but here's one that's definitely impressive. It's located in Governor Dodge State Park, a huge state park in Wisconsin, mm-hmm. but really easy to get to and gorgeous. I took a lot of photos. I probably have more photos of Stevens Falls than any other waterfall in this state, to be honest.
You know, I have not seen that one yet. I was just in Dodgeville. Either. Of course, we did the show on Dodgeville, which we'll be talking about. But I have not been in that park. I've been past it a bunch of times, and I keep making a note to myself. I have to go in there and explore it. And Stevens Falls is a highlight of that park, right?
Yeah, it really is. A park that's very well known for its horseback riding trails. But I remember visiting and being totally taken aback by just how big it is. It's not the kind of park we're going to really be able to see all of it in one day. But Stevens Falls was my favorite part. There are a lot of really cool little historic sections of the park, though. Some really cool ruins that you can see that are also not too far from the waterfall. So you're going to see quite a bit beyond just the fall itself. But I would say that's definitely the crown jewel of Governor Dodge State Park.
Nice. Well, you know, some other nice waterfalls and state parks. We can jump to the Northwest. And
for sure.
We did this for an episode on it was an episode on state parks, and right near Superior, just a little bit south and then a little bit southeast, maybe east southeast of Superior, in a single day, you can easily check out Amnicon Falls State Park, which has a whole bunch of waterfalls in them and a lot of, you know, rushing rivers in between, bridges you can cross right near the waterfalls. It's a stunningly beautiful place, yeah. Right off US 2. Right by where 2 and 53 get together in Superior. So, I mean, it's right by where all the action is. And a lot of rock outcroppings. There's a really cool waterfall in there. I don't think it's the Amnicon Falls, but it's one of the falls in there. That's very popular for people to, like, they sit right in front of the waterfall in the little water pit that the waterfall falls into.
Oh, fun.
They'll put lawn chairs in there because it's really shallow. They'll put lawn chairs in there and read a book while the waterfall roars in front of them and everything. And it's...
That's how we do waterfalling in Wisconsin.
I haven't seen that a lot, but Amnicon Falls, it's a popular pastime.
Can't do that at Niagara.
No, you can't, or you shouldn't. Get yourself in trouble if you do. You
try it in a barrel and see what happens, right? A little bit west of Amnicon Falls, too. It takes, you got to go over on some county roads. It's about 15 miles straight due south of Superior, right along Highway 35. Highway 35 cuts right through the middle of this other park called Pattison State Park, mm-hmm. which is home to Wisconsin's highest waterfall, which is Big Manitou Falls. That's 165 feet, which is just, I think it's 2 feet shorter than Niagara Falls, speaking mm-hmm. of. And really, it's a very beautiful falls, whether it's just a trickle of water or it's a roaring waterfall. I've seen it both ways. And it really can be viewed from a couple of different angles. There's a big deck on the north end that kind of extends out over the hills. So you can get a great view of the falls that way. And then you can walk around behind it and come around to the south end and get a beautiful view of the falls. So you get a lot of great angles. And in our state parks episode on Discover Wisconsin, we also had a drone fly in and around to get an unbelievably spectacular view of it.
Yeah. And definitely go watch that show, by the way, on mm-hmm. our YouTube channel. Just search for Wisconsin State Parks, Discover Wisconsin. And yeah, like you said, if you're into waterfalls, that's definitely a good one to check out.
And within Pattison, there's also Little Manitou Falls, which is, it should be called Little Manitou Fallses because they're twin falls. It forks just before the water falls. And you can literally be right up in front of that one too. It's much, much shorter. It's probably, I don't know, maybe 20 feet high, but there's a large volume of water falling. And the fact that it kind of forks like that is pretty cool. And that's along a really nice hiking trail. Quick story about Pattison State Park and how it got its name, by the way. Martin Pattison, who was a very wealthy industrialist up there. He was dealt in iron and timber and all that. You got really rich back then in the late 1800s doing that. He loved Big Manitou Falls and he loved that area, but that was privately held land. And the state wanted to buy up that land and build a huge dam along the river. It's the Black River, the Northern Black River up there. And they wanted to dam it, which would have created a lake and it would have essentially gotten rid of the falls. And he didn't want that to happen. So he actually started secretly buying up all the land around it. And once he got all of the land together, he donated it to the state in 1920. And that's how Patterson State Park came to be. So he preserved the falls.
That's cool. I thought you were going to talk about the naming of Manitou Falls.
No, I have no idea why it's called that.
So Manitou is an Algonquin word for spirit. And so Big Manitou Falls is essentially Great Spirit Falls, because apparently the Native Americans living near there, when they came upon it, they could hear it from so far away and they thought it was this like noise of this great spirit out in the woods.
Interesting.
Yeah. That's cool.
That's very cool.
I learned something today.
I have a question. What do you think about falls in the summer versus falls in the winter?
Good question. I think, first of all, I think it's definitely worth visiting. Try and visit. This is a good challenge for our listeners and for all of us, I think, in general. I would try and visit a waterfall in Wisconsin or some waterfalls in Wisconsin in every season, because I do think they change drastically. You know, spring, they're obviously flowing pretty heavily. So now is kind of a cool time to go check them out. And then in the summer, I love seeing the lush greenery around all the waterfalls. Fall, obviously, you've got the colors. And then in winter is a really interesting time to go look at waterfalls just because of all the snow and the mix of the ice. And then some of them are still actually flowing a little bit. So it's just, I had never really gone to trek to a waterfall in winter until we were filming. I think it was for our Marinette County episode we did a few years back. And you can go and snowmobile right up to them. So I think every experience is different based on the season that you're traveling in.
Winter is like a surprise sometimes because you have no idea if the falls are still flowing or not. And seeing a frozen waterfall where the water seemed to freeze in place while it was going over, that's pretty cool. And you can get some really great pictures.
Yeah, maybe get some snowshoes. That would be my one recommendation. Yeah, that's depending a good idea. depending on how far the falls are off the trail. But yeah, it's just quieter in the winter. I don't know. I remember being so pleasantly surprised. I think we ended our entire show, our Marinette County show, with a beautiful shot of one of the waterfalls of Marinette County during the winter. And it's just one of my favorite shots that we've ever captured for Discover Wisconsin.
We got a lot of great footage in that episode. And part of that's because Marinette County is kind of the waterfall capital of Wisconsin.
It is the waterfall capital of Wisconsin.
It is. Yeah, I probably shouldn't have said kind of. But between McCaslin Mountain and the areas around that, you're about 1,600 feet above sea level. And Lake Michigan is about 580. So I think Marinette County probably has the highest ratio, the difference between its highest point and its lowest point.
Sure.
Interesting, yeah.
And with all that water there, it makes sense that there'd be a lot of waterfalls. Some of my favorites on there, the easiest to get to is when you're on your way up into Marinette County. If you're on Highway 141 near Amberg, there's a place called Dave's Falls. Mm-hmm. And we filmed there. I think we filmed there a couple times. Named,
Dave,
of course.
Dave likes it. Named after our audio guy, obviously.
Named for audio Dave, yes. And so, Dave, tell us how it got to be named after you.
Well, you see... It was actually written in the stone that these falls fall onto. It was some prophecy that I would one day run the audio for this podcast and we would talk about it. And here we are full circle. And why don't you actually tell us the real story?
Your tone your at the beginning of that was so serious that I almost was like, real. Is this real?
Good to know that's your best possible BS job there, Audio Dave.
Yep.
It was named for, and I'm blanking on his last name, but it was named for one of the loggers who worked up in that area. And actually, he's a guy who unfortunately lost his life while clearing a log jam. But it did help a lot of other people get where they needed to go and everything. So in honor of him, they named it Dave's Falls. And it is just a spectacularly beautiful place. It's kind of more of a linear park, if you will, and because you can follow the rushing river along a series of small waterfalls. And we've got I mean, we got some beautiful footage on that in the Marinette County episode. And I highly recommend that as a stop because it's very easy to get to. I mean, it's literally the highway, the parking lot, and it's right there.
Dave Frechette.
Yeah, that's right.
Mm-hmm. I don't know how I'm saying that. I'm probably butchering it, but give or take.
But there it is.
There
I probably should have gone on Google too. Okay.
I got you. I'm over here Googling away. Mariah. You are welcome. I'm here for you. Can we try and attempt to head to southeastern Wisconsin? We've covered the rest of the state, but any waterfalls we should know about in that corner of Wisconsin?
Well, there's not a lot of them, but there are a couple of towns named after waterfalls. And they're actually, how would you describe them? Maybe cute waterfalls?
Sure.
Because they're little and they make the little waterfall sound and they're neat to look at.
Charming.
But charming is charming. But literally, Menominee Falls, which is a big suburb of Milwaukee, they actually have a little waterfall along the Menominee River. That's you could just look at it right from Main Street. The bridge is right there next to the falls. And A.J. O'Brady's is a good place to have a beer right afterwards. You know, the village center is right about there. Sheboygan Falls, right along, I think it's either the Sheboygan River or the Mullet River. I forgot which. And there is a Mullet River in Sheboygan. I love it. But there's a waterfall in right near downtown Sheboygan Falls that powered the mill that helped start the town. And a lot of these towns did start from waterfalls because they would power sawmills and stuff like that.
And there are actually not necessarily in southeastern Wisconsin, but there are towns all across the state that have falls in their name. We talked, I know we've talked about River Falls up in north, well, kind of west central.
West central.
Northwestern Wisconsin, which is not too far from Hudson, although the city name isn't after a waterfall. They do have a really beautiful one at their local state park, Willow River State Park with Willow Falls. And that is a scene that's, I think, really unlike any other waterfall in this state. It's just the cascading falls there are kind of, they're located in this beautiful gorge and, oh man, it's a stunner.
And you know what? That probably is one of the, along with Big Manitou, that probably is the coolest waterfall in Wisconsin. Because you're right, the way it cascades down, there's like three or four drops, like in one just area you can look at and enjoy. And it's, and that's one that really changes through the seasons too, because it cascades down like that.
For those of you who are waterfall photography enthusiasts, because I know there are a lot of you out there, that one is actually tough to get a photo of because of the lighting, that gorge that it's kind of sitting in between shades it for a large part of the day. So, but the photography I have seen of it is amazing. I think I might have mentioned in a past episode, I did finally get a half decent camera, and that's one of my goals, is to try and photograph some of the waterfalls in Wisconsin. It's tough, but man, the you know, if you're listening to what we're saying and you want it, I would definitely encourage you guys to go and just Google some of these waterfalls, because the photography out there really is, I think, inspiring and has motivated me to go and check out some of these falls.
And, you know, as long as we started in Osceola, one more shout out in western Wisconsin, of course, St. Croix Falls. The town and Interstate State Park, which is right near there. That's a beautiful waterfall around there, too. Just that whole area around the state line. It's about where USA crosses.
Stunning. Gorgeous. Yes. Oh, my God. It really is. Interstate State Park. Oh, that place in general is just so beautiful. One of the prettiest, top five prettiest state parks in Wisconsin.
And I think we need to wrap it up with Audio Dave's favorite falls.
What's that?
Oh, yeah. I wanted to bring up Wickwiock Falls in Brown County, because that is the first waterfall that I ever fell in love with, the fall I fell for. It was right near my mom taught at Wickwiock Elementary School. And so we would kind of take a little day trips out there every now and then. And it's really more of a trickle unless there's like the snow melt or a big rainfall. But it's really cool. It's right off the road. I don't remember. I was far too young to remember where the park was or anything like that. But I remember it was right by a road, so it's not hard to get to. And I remember as a child, of course, it was explained to me that like this cliff is the same cliff that like Niagara Falls falls over. And that just like blew my mind as a child. But yeah, so it's right on the Niagara Escarpment.
It's definitely the most fun waterfall to say.
Yeah.
Wickwiock.
Yes.
It's right off Highway 57, by the way. Very easy to get to, just northeast of Green Bay.
I have one more.
Yeah, too.
Shout out to my mother because okay, I know she's more. Listening.
Okay.
Hey, Dave's mom.
Oh, hey, Dave's mom. Speaking of photography, though, like Mariah was saying, the 2021 photo contest for the 2021 Discover Wisconsin calendar will be starting soon. And I love looking through all the submissions, and we get tons of really cool waterfall submissions. So
yes, good point.
I look forward to seeing those ones come through.
Yes, yes. Okay, I have one more.
You might
more.
Be able to get some cooler pictures with less people being out and about.
That's true.
That is, this is a great time for photography.
Yeah, yes. It really is. Okay, I do have one more waterfall. We filmed here, I think, last summer or the summer before. It's called Lost Creek Falls, and it's in Bayfield County. It is really, I would say, definitely one of the more remote waterfalls I've been to in Wisconsin. About a mile into the woods, maybe a little over a mile, very small falls, which I personally do gravitate towards the more dainty looking waterfalls. I don't know what it is about them. They just, to me,
the cute and charming ones.
Cute and charming. They just feel so much, a little bit more majestic and, I don't know, intriguing to me. But this, and it also helps that there was hardly anyone there when I visited. And so it's selfishly kind of cool to have this little waterfall to yourself. But we filmed this one in our Trails at the Top episode, which I'd also encourage you to go check out on YouTube. I think it's in segment 2 of that show. Just really cool, underrated, probably one of the more lesser visited waterfalls of the group of those that we're talking about in this conversation.
Well, cool. That's a lot of waterfalls.
That is a lot. We gave, I think there's quite a few tips and suggestions there. It is one of the most suggested topics. We've done some blogging on this over the years, and people tend to really gravitate towards this topic, which is why we wanted to talk about it. So if you guys have other ideas, chime in on our Facebook group Around the Campfire, or reach out to us on social media to, you know, share your photos with us and let us know some of your favorite places.
Should we go behind the scenes?
Yes.
Let's go behind the scenes. And now a quick word from one of our sponsors, the Wisconsin Corn Growers Association, also known as WCGA. Did you know that everyday corn growers adopt new technologies with the environment in mind? I didn't know that. Wisconsin corn growers do a lot to protect water quality. They use modern technology to improve quality, production, and protection of watershed. Producing corn also produces a number of other products like animal feed and corn oil.
Who knew? It's so beautiful to watch the corn fields like late season.
Yeah, I agree.
Whether it's flat farmland or rolling hills with all the corn stalks on them and everything, it's
nothing beats
so cool.
That view. So Wisconsin. Really, yeah. Also, make sure to head to discoverwisconsin.com/contests and enter to win our April Passport to Adventure giveaway. This prize package is all about things to do and see in Sparta, really cool area of Wisconsin, including free bike rentals, dinner and drink certificates, and a 2-night stay at a beautiful bed and breakfast. Again, that's discoverwisconsin.com/contests. Let's get into today's behind the scenes segment. We were originally going to have our first guest outside of a DW crew member, but unfortunately, thanks to COVID-19, we had to cancel. But we do have some fun notes from the episode producer of this show. That's Jessica Murphy. And I don't know, Eric, I think we got a lot to say about Dodgeville.
I think we do too. There was a lot of fun stuff going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot that happened in this episode. Kind of seeing it on one list. It's like, wow.
We squished a lot in. We sure did. Yeah. Yeah. You know, I've been with the show for 7 years and I've spent personal time in Dodgeville, but we haven't filmed in Dodgeville that I know of in a really long time. So it's probably why the episode feels a little busier than others. We were, I think, a little bit overdue for a trip there. But man, is this a really cool spot? Let's start with the history. So I popped in right away. It was one of the first shoots I had when we were filming in Dodgeville at the Iowa County Historical Society Museum. And right out of the gates, we learned about this really fun rivalry between Mineral Point and Dodgeville. And guys, I love a little drama in my life. so this was fun to hear about. They were essentially arguing over the county seat of Dodge County.
Iowa County.
I'm sorry, Iowa County. Dodge County, different episode. So Mineral Point was originally the county seat, and it, and Dodgeville was trying to fight for it. And, you know, one was fighting over needing to be the county seat based on the proximity or the fact that they're centrally located. The other was saying we have more growth in our town. And they're really, I think there was an actual cannon that got like lit off or exploded or whatever you do to cannons. It was there.
You fire them.
You fight. Thank it you. Cannoned. It got cannoned. So they cannoned to let, I think Dodgeville did. I need to triple check this story, but I think Dodgeville did to let Mineral Point know that they meant business. And then just to see the front page.
So they fired it at them or just a warning shot?
I hope a warning shot. I was never clear if this was like kind of funny / more serious. It seemed serious in the newspapers. Like the newspapers, first of all, go to this museum and just read the articles in the newspaper, because the way they all talk back then, just everything was serious. It was good like day, a really sir. Big deal. Yeah, like they were angry and it was just entertaining to read. Like that was their drama back then. Oh man, those had to have been the days.
And you know, those two towns are close enough. If you fired off a cannon in one town, you'd hear it in the other.
Why is it cannoned becoming a thing? You guys keep saying firing off. I'm trying to make this a verb. They cannoned.
We're really latching on the cannon. They cannoned
Mineral Point.
Because cannons are a very 19th century thing.
Yeah, well, I think we should bring it into the modern era.
You want to bring back the cannons? Yes. Okay. All right.
Hashtag bring back cannons.
I mean, on second thought, we don't need any more violence.
But we digress. Let's, that's my thing. Why don't we digress over to Sweden and Folklore Village?
Oh, yeah, I'm all about that. I love Folklore Village. This is okay. I swear I don't like to overuse this term, but I would say Folklore Village is definitely a hidden gem.
I'm starting to recognize it in your voice when you're leading up to it.
It really is. So this is a nationally renowned destination, and I find that a lot of Wisconsinites, myself included, hadn't, you know, I had not even heard of this place. I know a lot of people haven't either until we started filming here. So what I love about it is it's kind of like a cool field trip destination for people of all ages. And you get to, I mean, you obviously you're experiencing the Swedish culture there, but you get to actually get involved. And I attempted to play a nyckelharpa on the show, which was so fun. Yeah. And then I went across the, yeah, how was that audio designing that nyckelharpa segment?
It was so cool. And I remember when you posted on your Instagram, when I saw you sitting down to play it, I was just like, please tell me you have properly set up mics, because I need to hear what that thing sounds like. Because describe it. It's a very unique looking instrument.
It kind of looks good. I mean, I think it's in like the guitar string family of sorts. It kind of looks guitarish. It kind of looks ukulele-ish. But then there's all these like, not accordion buttons, like, but like these.
Like wooden
buttons. Are you sorry you asked me to describe it?
Yeah, let me jump in and help you. From what I could tell, you play it with a bow.
I don't know how I got my job on TV.
Like more strings.
Can't describe anything. Sorry. Yes, you have a better description.
There's more strings than a guitar, and yes, instead of like putting your fingers on the strings, you push down these wooden buttons that kind of clamp down on the strings. Yeah, is that about?
I use my left hand to push the little buttons, and then I think you did something with your. Okay, I never learned how to play any instrument, so I was the wrong host for this shoot, or maybe I was the right host for the shoot because I had no experience.
Yeah,
I was definitely the worst one in the class. Like there was probably five or six of us, and there were people who they told me it was a beginner class, and there were clearly people who came with some experience, which I didn't appreciate. but no, they were all really cool. It was fun. I like one of my favorite things on the planet is taking 101 classes and just learning new skills and new things. I didn't know what a nyckelharpa was until that day. So I just, the whole day was full of surprises, full of just, you know, learning. And I think what more could you ask for in like a fun little day out, a fun little field trip in Wisconsin.
I'm really surprised ABBA never played a nyckelharpa, although maybe they did.
Maybe they did. We don't know. Yeah. I mean, now I've got to Google, like, who are the famous nyckelharpists? Right across the road. Oh, I also learned how to do some Swedish dancing, which that Ooh. Footage. Oh, my God. Okay, I will admit to you, I came into that shoot maybe kind of cocky, like, how hard can this square dancing be? It's not square dancing, first of all. Oh, they take it very seriously. They were like correcting my techniques, my dance strategies. So I would say that the shoot in general was extremely humbling for me. but that was fun.
I love the concept of dance strategies.
Especially because it kind of does look like square dancing in a way.
This quarantine has my vocabulary. Oh my gosh.
Mariah, here it goes. Dance, dance.
We're falling apart.
I am falling apart. I blame this quarantine situation. Okay, anyway, across from the road of the square dancing, or I should say Swedish dancing / Nicole Harpa playing, there is this was the highlight of my trip there, I think, was this really cool one room, little tiny church. And all the musicians came. They drove in from all over. I remember meeting people from the Twin Cities, and they all play, and then they all knew when to rise at the same time and play all together. I was just watching, like, totally mind blown. I love music. This though was like on a different level. Like, when I say I got chills, I'm not exaggerating. Like, it was a very chills inducing experience. And it was one moment where I'm like, man, I'm glad we're filming this, but even filming it is never gonna portray the full experience of what it feels like to actually be in this room. I definitely encourage people to check it out.
It does look cool in the show. I didn't get to attend with you on that one, but that looked like a good time.
Yeah. Folklore Village. Check it out.
So we'll talk about food here in a minute. I want to talk about how in Dodgeville they pride themselves on family-owned businesses. And there's a lot of them downtown. And there's one on the north end of town that I went to and got to do something I'd never done before. Wood burning.
Ooh, yes.
This place is called Walnut Hollow. It's family owned and they basically manufacture woodcrafting supplies. So their stuff is all over the place in arts and crafts stores. And they basically just have little slices of trees everywhere in this, I don't want to call it a factory, but I mean, where they saw everything down and prep all this wood. And then they make all kinds of cool stuff that crafters really love. And so we basically got to one of those tables in their store and she gave me, gosh, what was it? 1,000-degree pen?
Wow.
An insane temperature they heat these little pens up to. And I'm like holding it carefully with my thumb and my forefinger. And I'm like, one little slip and I'm not going to feel anything on these hands for a while. But boy, it burns right in. And if you go with a slow and steady hand, you can create some pretty cool art. I tried to do the Discover Wisconsin logo.
Keyword tried.
It came out pretty good, actually.
I saw this on the episode and I was wondering why the heck it isn't hanging up in the cabin.
Actually, that would
we gotta get that in
that
there.
Would be a perfect compliment to the cabin, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Post quarantine, we'll have to hang it in the cabin.
Even dogs agree.
Yes.
I've never heard woofing in the affirmative quite like that. So, so you can watch my first woodcrafting activity ever on the show, and check out Walnut Hollow. It's a really cool place. If you love crafting, especially with wood, it's a paradise to visit.
There was such a sweet moment between the mother and daughter who were interviewed there. You just can't write interactions like that when the mom was talking about how all of the employees there are like family to them and they've been around for so long. And you can just tell the daughter can just tell, like, you're about to cry, aren't you? Yeah. She just like looks at her and nods. It's like, oh, man,
that was really sweet.
Love those guys.
Yeah, they were really cool. I highly recommend checking Walnut Hollow out. Now, just north of Walnut Hollow, and I know we mentioned it a little bit earlier when we were talking about waterfalls, Mariah, you got to go to Governor Dodge in this episode.
I did. Yes, I got to do a little discovering of the state park. There's also some really cool local bike trails. And I also went to a place I had never heard of called Bloomfield Prairie, right outside of Dodgeville. That was interesting to me in that it really is a wide open prairie. So it was a different kind of, I think, look and just different type of scenery than you might expect at obviously like the nearby state park. I loved it. I mean, a great spot too for birding. For those of you who are bird enthusiasts, this is a really cool spot to go to. Just the sounds in general were just lovely. And the hiking was very easy, which I appreciated. And there's some really pretty pond areas. There's even a little pavilion, I believe, where you can kind of picnic or have a little reunion there. Just a really gorgeous, laid back, quiet, relaxing place to go.
Nice. Yeah. So you hit a lot of these outdoor spots.
Yeah. Dodgeville really is, I mean, stunning in terms of the outdoor recreation and just all the opportunities there are to get outside.
It's nestled nicely in the Driftless area. So there's a lot to take advantage of there. Now, we did get a chance to eat. You got some sweet treats.
False.
You got some sweet treats at Quality Bakery.
No,
I didn't. Oh, you didn't go? No.
Didn't we go through this last episode?
I know, and I forgot. I just remember seeing the chocolate Bismarcks.
No, that was one that the crew didn't invite hosts to so that they could eat more donuts themselves.
Well, Jess. She's our producer on that.
Sneaky girl.
I saw the chocolate Bismarcks on there, and I'm like, A, those look delicious, and B, that would be a great name for a funk band from Germany.
Chocolate Bismarcks.
The chocolate Bismarcks. Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
I jam out for sure. Now,
I did get to go downtown, though, and have a terrific meal right along Main Street, and this is where I get to use salty language again, boys and girls. It's placed right along the main drag. It's Highway 23, right by the Iowa County Courthouse. And right by where the Dodgeville Chronicle is published. That's been around since the 1800s, still locally owned by the same family. And Bob's Bitchin' Barbecue, relatively new business there. But boy, it started with Bob making sauces and selling them. And then he loved smoking meat and creating barbecue. So he made a restaurant out of it. And I will tell you, it is some really, really fantastically flavorful stuff.
It looked really great.
We kind of focused on burn ends for a little while and what those really are, because it's not really ends, if you will. But just from the sausages to the brisket to just every possible kind of barbecue, main course and side, really fantastic place to eat. And it's a delicious looking part of the episode.
Sure is.
Yeah. The mac and cheese looked phenomenal.
It was wonderful. Very creamy, very carby.
I love Dodgeville.
And the other thing, we didn't eat it. Well, maybe you did, Mariah. Did you check out, because the Grilled Cheese Championship is in the show.
Oh, I wish. It's on my bucket list. I did not get to go with the crew.
I would have loved to have gone to that too. Yeah. That way they could eat all the grilled cheeses.
I know. I'm noticing a theme here. They're not taking hosts to as many. I know you got to go to Bob's Fish and Barbecue, but I'm like, why is the number of food shoots I get to go on declining? I don't like this pattern. But no. It does look really fun.
I should go on fewer ones. Jeez. The camera adds 10 pounds, but I think all that food does too.
Yeah, no, the Grilled Cheese Championships in Dodgeville did look really cool on the show. I think we featured it near the end, if I'm remembering correctly. But And I love seeing that how many kids were partaking. I didn't realize that. I didn't realize it was kind of something really for all ages. So it looked like a super awesome, very Wisconsin event, obviously.
It is, but you can't beat a grilled cheese when you're a kid. Grilled cheese and tomato soup, for example. And
I mean, that's still one of my go-to meals.
But yeah, as a grown up, I enjoy them as well. And those
making a lot of grilled cheese during my quarantine.
Same. I just made one yesterday. Mm-hmm. I'm about to make my first pie, by the way. Well, I've made a pie on Discover Wisconsin, but I don't really count that because it was at Stockholm Pie General Store over in Stockholm, Wisconsin, a very well-known spot. And she's amazing. She was like right over my shoulder. But now I'm like, okay, this quarantine's got us all like baking and cooking like no other. So now I'm going to go watch the Dodgeville show and feel like inspired, I think, to make the world's most gourmet grilled cheese. That's a good challenge for us.
Yeah. There's some pretty crazy recipe. I mean, like, it's not just bread and cheese. Like,
they get crazy.
There was one guy making a dessert one that had like brownie and like peanut butter and berries in it.
Yeah, they get pretty fancy with these.
I had no idea.
And a shout out actually to some previous champions who we've shown them before. They're out of Milwaukee, the Gouda Girls, who have a food truck that specializes in grilled cheeses. They go out there for that. So some of the best in the nation, award-winning people who make creative grilled cheeses, go to the Grilled Cheese Championship. Now, I don't know what's going to happen with it this year, because this year is highly unusual.
It's held every April, right?
It's usually held every April. So I have not heard about rescheduling, but they're either going to reschedule it or just skip this year and you want to check it out in 2021 then.
A virtual event, since we're all making grilled cheeses anyway.
That's true. We could all make them in our respective kitchens. And
I had a friend who was just doing a remote cooking competition.
That's cool.
It was through Instagram Live or something like that. I didn't get to tune in, but I heard about it after the fact.
You must have to judge it.
Show up.
What a cool opportunity. Yeah, I don't know how they do the taste testing. Yeah, maybe it's just kind of visual. Yeah.
Presentation.
Visual presentation.
Well, we eat with our eyes a lot. Let's face
we
it.
We do. Yeah. We sure do. Yeah, that's true.
And one other thing on Dodgeville is the Military Ridge Trail, because its geographic location in the Driftless area is along that Military Ridge. It's one of the higher points in southern Wisconsin, and the recreation trails around Dodgeville are really, really cool. And the Military Ridge in particular kind of goes along Highway 18, so you can connect via bike on that trail to Mount Horeb, all the way east to Fitchburg by Madison and Ridgeway, which is right along the 90th Meridian. At that point, you're halfway between the Prime Meridian in London and the International Dateline. It's a cool little geographic fact. As I geek out on these things, yeah. You know.
That sounds like an Eric fact, yeah, if totally. I ever done heard one.
Yeah, Mariah, I remember we stood at the 45 North, 90 West.
I do remember.
In Marathon County. Yeah, I was probably geeking loving, out about that more than you. You were
totally geeking out more than I was. That is not even a question. It was cool, though, I will say. It was pretty cool. Yeah.
So check out the show when you can, of course, your local TV channel that you love to watch the show on. Of course, it's on YouTube, discoverwisconsin.com, and then all the others, all the other what we call OTTs. Mariah, you love doing this in rapid succession, right?
Roku, Apple TV, Smart TV, Google Chromecast, Amazon Fire.
Very good.
Thank you so much.
And make sure you leave suggestions and feel free to comment. Let us know what you like, dislike, etc. Of course, you can join our Facebook page Around the Campfire and do that. And we love using your suggestions. So there you go.
So we, again, aren't going to be doing Wisconsin in 72 this week because not a whole lot going on. But we can use this time to check in with each other. How's everything going with quarantine and, you know, your mental state?
You know, as an only child and I have a lot of work to do at home, I'm probably faring better than most with this. And I'm going to work at the radio station and I'm home and I hit the grocery store every couple of days.
Baking a lot of baking.
I'm going to be at Ellen's house too then.
Making a lot of, I've just made a blueberry lemon bread. I think I'm going to make a beer bread today. I hear you can use a can of beer and if you don't have yeast, and I hear it's really good. So that's going to be my next project.
Well, beer has yeast in it.
Very nice. Mm-hmm.
The stores are out of baking powder though, which has been a challenge for me.
I can vouch for that. I was trying to find flour and I couldn't I had to buy fancy almond flour. Because all the regular AP and stuff was gone at the store. I was making, I make really good crepe style pancakes. You know, they're thin and flavorful and all that stuff. They're really good. And I hadn't made them in years. And I decided to make them. And the hardest part was finding flour, which never been an issue before.
I was just thinking today that I need to create a schedule for myself, because that's been like the hard thing is I wake up and then I'm like, okay, how should I go about my day? Do I start with the at-home workout? Or checking my email, going straight into work. And work feels like there are no lines now because you're like working from home and you just can't shut it off because your home office is 2 feet away or it's on your couch. Mm-hmm. So that's been kind of weird. And oh my God, I've never embraced walks more in my life than now. Like the opportunity to take my dog out, I'm like, I think my dogs need another walk right now. Yep, they definitely need another walk.
Yeah, dogs are getting annoyed, I think, with all this quarantine.
No, mine are loving it.
Not as much as cats, because they don't want you around, but you know.
Yeah.
I also think there's a new record of the number of people who are working pantsless.
Do you have something to share?
See,
Why do you think I haven't stood during this video conference? No, I'm just kidding.
See, I feel completely opposite. I cannot get any work done if I'm still in my PJs. Like, I still need to get dressed and I can't roll out of bed and then start.
I know, Dave, that's a nice suit you're wearing. I like the tie.
Why, thank you.
I had like a day or last week, I think I went and put a blazer on because I was like, I need to dress up a little and motivate myself to feel professional, because I agree. I won't lie. The pajama thing is convenient and nice, but like to motivate myself, I sometimes need to just be a little bit more put together. Otherwise, it's just tricky. It's been weird, though.
Routine is important, and everybody's routine is so different now. And that's the hard part, is adjusting to it. And none of us have kids, right?
No.
Nope.
Having your kids home all day and homeschooling them, that adds a whole nother level.
Oh my gosh, I can't imagine. I was at Target the other day and I did laugh so hard because I overheard this woman say, "It must be so much worse for families with kids. I am so annoyed at my husband right now." I was just laughing because I'm like, yeah, I think we're all like, you know, we all need our mental breaks, which is when we go on our walks or however we're social distancing outside.
You know who's going to make a lot of money when this whole thing is done is relationship counselors.
Probably.
Yeah.
And on that note, Eric, what's going on next week here on the cabin?
Oh, it's just a joke, by the way. Now, next week for episode 11, which we'll do remotely once again, we'll be talking about Wisconsin's oddest roadside attractions. One of my favorite topics because there's so many of them in this state. So we're going to have a lot of fun with it. And of course,
how many roads are you going to be talking about in the next episode is what I want to know. How many highways are going to get mentioned?
All I'm going to tell you is it's going to be a 7-hour episode.
All of the highways. All of them are going to get featured.
Everything I can get away with.
100-hour episode.
From the world's largest.
Me and Mariah can just take a backseat to that entire episode and just let them go.
You can prattle on that one. From the world's largest talking cow to whatever else you want to talk about. Muskie. It's a lot of stuff. Oh, the muskie is great. Yeah. Well, we could get into it now, but we won't.
Let's just, not give it all away.
So we'll be talking about that, Wisconsin's oddest roadside attractions, and also preview another new Discover Wisconsin episode that's all about Wisconsin's military tributes.
Great topic. Today's episode of The Cabin was hosted by me, Mariah Haberman, Eric Paulson, Dave Janis, and Alan Fallon. Produced by me, Alan Fallon, and Dave. Tune in next week for more campfire conversations and insight into the world of Discover Wisconsin. The Cabin is a production brought to you by Discover Media Works. To learn more, head to discovermediaworks.com and don't forget to subscribe and leave us a review.
And here's this week's installment of Know Your Wisconsin.
Waste management professionals in rural communities and larger cities across Wisconsin take matters of human health and environmental protections very seriously. The work they do is complex and ultimately aims to better the lives of the citizens they serve.
So our facility, our department, handles all the waste in this county, from every single municipality, basically every single household, business, commercial enterprise for the most part. And we have to find a way to get rid of that. And we'd like to find ways to get rid of that responsibly without necessarily landfilling it. A big part of my role is going out and doing education on what are some of the other ways you can get rid of waste or reuse waste or recover some of that waste. So that's why we actually changed our name a few years ago from Solid Waste to Resource Recovery.
Wisconsin residents and businesses use landfills for over 9 million tons of waste each year. In order to reduce this number, education and simple lifestyle changes are ways that Wisconsinites can make a difference.
Kids are embracing recycling more than their parents are, and their grandparents for sure, and they get really excited when I go to schools and, yes, we can recycle that number one bottle. Do you know it gets turned into carpet? We encourage residents to get more involved in the recycling program.
Composting is another form of waste disposal where organic waste decomposes naturally under oxygen-rich conditions, keeping this waste out of landfills.
We know that food waste represents somewhere 20 to 25% of all the waste that's thrown into landfills. So there's an effort nationwide and even in Wisconsin to try to find a way to deal with that waste.
Through recycling and composting programs, county waste managers help communities collectively keep almost 2 million tons of material out of Wisconsin's landfills and incinerators. And now you know your Wisconsin.